We turn to the chapter which we read. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we shall read again verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. These words are very much relevant to the subject that the Apostle Paul is dealing with in this chapter. He is speaking of the Christian hope, the hope of a blessed eternity, in particular the resurrection of the body. Believers are new creatures in Christ. They have new life in their souls. Grace is at work. One day, if we are believers, as we trust we are, we shall be among the spirits of just men, righteous men, made perfect in heaven. But they who are in heaven await the resurrection of the body. That is the final state. That is why Christ died for his people, to redeem them, body and soul, and to conform them to himself. Well, if you hope for something, it is something you cannot yet see, not with your ordinary vision, but you hope for it because you believe that you shall have it. And that is certainly true for the Christian. And what we have here is something concerning that extraordinary vision which is given to the Lord's people. We, alongside our fellow men, in so many respects, exactly as they are, yet by the grace of God have an extraordinary power granted to us. We have a vision that they do not have. We can see things that those of the world simply cannot see. And we see things, as Paul says, that are unseen. You have that at the end of the previous chapter. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What Paul is saying, what Scripture is telling us is this: the things that are unseen are more important than the things that are seen. And that because the things that are unseen are eternal things, and are not eternal things, more significant by far than temporal things. We are to live in this world as those who know they will not be in it for very much longer. As those who know that they go to their long home from which there is no return to this world. And as those who know that by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that eternal world to which they are going is a most desirable one, a delightful one, and indeed they long to be there. And those who have this hope walk by faith. And that is what we shall consider for a brief time. Walking by faith. It is a subject worth considering again and again, because we too easily forget this and we live according to what we can discern by our natural senses, and we forget the things that are eternal, and they should be in the very forefront of our minds, and that always. Firstly then, our natural vision, our bodily vision. The Lord has made us as creatures that reflect his glory, because man uniquely is not body only, but he has a soul. And the image of God was stamped upon man's soul at his creation. When Adam sinned, that image was defaced. There are remnants of man's original dignity as come from God and having a right relation to God, but the relation was broken by man's sin. It is restored only in Christ. Christ, the last Adam, standing where the first Adam sinned and fell, and Christ standing as the one who is the head of God's people, the church, all the elect. Christ standing in obedience, perfect obedience. Christ suffering, paying for the sins of his people. But he has redeemed them by his blood, and the image of God is restored in them. It is being filled out in their growth in grace and in their sanctification. But in this world, we live in the body, and we have a remarkable sight, a God-given sight, the physical eye, this organ in the body which is so intricately made. Now we're told that other creatures have, in some respects, a more remarkable sight than we do. But what we have is a remarkable thing. You have to understand, and only those who are literally blind, blind spiritually, blind in the most fundamental sense, do not understand it. We have to understand that the eye we have in the body sees the glory of God. It sees God's handiwork. It knows that there is a God. We have that sense within us. And yet, for the most part, mankind defies this knowledge, holds this knowledge in unrighteousness, refuses its witness, its testimony, its voice. The very organ itself could not have arisen by any evolutionary process. It only works, the eye, when it's perfect, when it's complete. The intricate design, the designer being God himself, our creator. And with our natural vision, we can behold the wonders of this world. God has set wonders in this world. The great mountains, the deep oceans, the flowing rivers, plants, the animals, the whole array, and all woven together to be one living world and a fit habitation for man. It was created so that man might dwell on this earth and have all that he needs, but also have this continual witness born to him of his Creator. we have no excuse for our unbelief. And what the eye sees, the bodily eye, is man. We see our fellow men, we see ourselves. And we see the misery, the sadness. We see sickness, we see suffering, we see violence, we see bloodshed, we see death. And that tells us things are not as they ought to be. Beautiful creation, and yet here at the center of it is man, and he is manifestly a creature who has something seriously wrong. Something greatly amiss. Man is a moral creature, yet man is now immoral in his thoughts and words and deeds. Man was accountable to God, and still is, and yet he rebels. He does the things that God forbids. And we can see these things, and all men can see these things. They only have to look into their own hearts. What do we see there? We see how corrupt we are. The heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yet man, seeing himself to be in such a fearful state, will not acknowledge it. And he will not seek the remedy for it. The gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Man knows he's perishing. We all know that shortly we will die. But we do not call upon God. Blind in our unbelief. And unbelieving in our blindness. Man, the ruined, does not seek the divine remedy. And you cannot with your natural eye see or understand the remedy. And you certainly cannot see the way to God and the way to heaven. When it comes to these things, we are as blind naturally as Bartimaeus was, even more so. And yet, how does man walk? He walks by sight. That's how he is. He lives by those natural senses. If you can see it with your natural eye, well, then it's true. If you can't see it with your natural eye, then we don't have to believe in it. That's how man is. And man, walking by sight, will continue in the broad way. And continuing in that way, he will be led to destruction. Everlasting destruction, punished for sin. And that is what we deserve. Well, many will boast of the wonderful things they have seen, the great things of this world, but they won't give God the glory for the creation itself. They won't praise him for what they see of the beauty or the sunrise or a sunset or the night sky or any other of the natural wonders. They shut God out. But we who are the Lord's, we see God in the creation. And we see God in providence as well. We see that daily. Do you not see it? In the way the hand of God provides, the hand of God guides and protects, and the hand of God delivers. We are thankful that our God is our Father in heaven, and in every way he's taking care of us. We see these things because as believers we have something beyond natural vision. And that brings us then to the vision of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. In that great chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, there are several references to saving faith, and it is described in terms of vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen with natural vision, but real and substantial and perceived by faith, which is spiritual sight. We're told of Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Well, he saw God by faith. He knew God by faith. And he did not walk as those around him walked. He lived in an evil generation. Man's wickedness was reaching a pitch. Soon it would repent God that he had made man upon the face of the earth. But Enoch walked in a contrary way to those of the world. His steps followed a different path. He walked with God, the God he knew and enjoyed by this faith the Lord had worked in his heart. And his heart was set upon the Lord. That is the secret. The heart has been changed, renewed by grace, and from that heart there is this living faith, and in its sight is God himself, and especially the Son of God, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Something is said particularly of Moses, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's the difference. The world going after what it can see and hear and touch and taste and so on. Things that to the world seem to be real and seem to be satisfying. They hold out the promise of that. Some pleasure, some satisfaction, but no. There's nothing there. Nothing lasting, nothing abiding, nothing to bring any peace within, any joy. Looking ahead, it's all a fleeting thing. Moses, being one of the Lord's, he understood that. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Dear friends, do we have respect unto that recompense? The reward? That which the Lord has promised to his people? That which they shall have in glory? That will more than compensate for all the afflictions and all the trials that we have borne with here. And faith knows that. And faith looks beyond this world. Faith looks to God himself. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. There we have it. The eye of faith, resting upon the eternal God, seeing him, knowing him, delighting in him, and enduring. We need this vision of faith if we are to continue as followers of Christ in this world. Christ is, of course, physically absent from this world. He took his leave of it after his resurrection. Over 40 days he appeared to his disciples on a number of occasions, and he spoke precious things to them, and they were fully persuaded, totally convinced, that he was alive from the dead. Then he ascended on high, and he is now seated upon the throne of heaven. But Christ is not absent from this world. He is present in this world spiritually. He is so as God, because God fills heaven and earth with his presence. And the Comforter has been sent by Christ to his people to dwell in their hearts. Another Comforter, said Christ, one like myself, by the Spirit, and the Spirit taking of the Word, giving us to understand it, to believe it, to obey it. The Spirit enables us to see Christ. Christ as the Redeemer. Christ in the glory of his finished work, dying on the cross, putting away sin forever for his people. Christ risen, triumphant from the dead, Christ ascended, Christ seated at God's right hand. And this, Christ coming again, that is the hope. That is when the believer obtains the full recompense of the reward. Body and soul reunited, both glorified, and together with Christ in the perfect world, and that for all eternity. Speak to the unbelieving of these things, and very likely they will shrug their shoulders and say, if that's what you believe, then that's good for you. As though these things were so far removed from this world and their present lives as to have no relevance, when they are indeed the very opposite. This is the only hope. This is what man was created for. This is the portion of God's people. And who are God's people? They are simply sinners who have repented and trusted in Christ. They didn't have any particular qualities or gifts. They didn't have any merit or deserving. They obeyed the call of the gospel. They came as they were. They bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. And they were accepted in the beloved Saviour. And God has lavished upon them all the riches of Christ's salvation. And they know him. And you know him. You walk with him. As you walk together with a friend, a companion, a loved one, Christ holds his people by their right hand. He holds them up, giving them his strength, and he guides them in the way because he goes before them. Do you see that in the scriptures? Christ calls you and Christ calls me to nothing but what he himself has experienced, endured. It is not easy to be a Christian, especially in this day of small things. But was it easy for Christ? Think of the opposition he faced. Think of the taunts. Think of the mockery. Think of the rejection, even from his own people. Think of the cruelty of the mock trial, false accusations, the guilty verdict, and the crucifixion itself. To walk with Christ, walking by faith, enables us to make progress toward where we desire to be. We desire to be where Christ now is. Physically, he is present in heaven, the celestial city, God's city, into which he gathers his people, his redeemed from north, south, east, and west, that they should abide with him. And you see, the heart of the believer is joined to the heart of Christ. And we would be in his nearer presence. We would be where he now is. And so when we're told that we are to be looking unto Jesus, that means looking unto heaven. Heaven as our home. Heaven as the fulfillment of all our desires, our true and spiritual God-given desires. Trusting and obeying God, who is invisible, being a spirit, and yet very real, the God with whom we have to do. Is God more real to you than anything else? That is how it should be with us. So that in the whole of our lives, we do not in any way exempt ourselves from that thought. God is with me. His eye is upon me. He knows my very inmost thoughts as well as my words and deeds. To be more spiritually and heavenly minded, we should pray to God for that. Finally, we might say something concerning this, the vision of glory. Speaking about walking by faith and what faith is able to see as we are found presently in this world. But what when faith, spiritual sight, gives way to the reality as we're in the presence of God, around the throne, the glory is then seen. And at the resurrection, we inhabit again our bodies, and with our eyes, we see the Lord. We see Christ. So you have the eye of the soul, the eye of the body. And the soul acts here by faith, sees by faith, but then in glory there is that bodily sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. the Son of God incarnate. We do not know what the physical appearance of Christ is in any exact terms. We know that he was born a Jew, and we learn of his sufferings. There are different opinions as to whether Christ bears in glory the marks of his crucifixion, the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side. But we do know that when John had that vision in the Revelation, got a glimpse of glory, he beheld a lamb as it had been slain, which might suggest that in some way it is evident, even in glory, Christ was once crucified. These things may be beyond us, but we know that we shall behold our Saviour. John tells us that in his first epistle. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And somehow, the moment the soul goes into heaven, the work of sanctification is complete. The soul is glorified, perfected in holiness. There is that vision of Christ. And then, at the resurrection, the believer body and soul is with Christ, and body and soul glorified together with Christ. Strangely, it is one who lived in the time of the Old Testament who perhaps shows us more clearly than any other what it will be for the believer to enter into glory and to stand at the resurrection when Christ returns. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And Job uttered those words concerning Jesus Christ, the God-man, crucified, buried, risen again, gone to glory, and then to return to this world at the last day to judge mankind. That day will be a glorious day for the church. The church publicly vindicated, every true believer acquitted publicly, and then to enjoy to perfection all that Christ has for his own. We enjoy it in part here, but to enjoy all that Christ is, to gaze upon him, to behold his glory. Then, in eternity, having walked by faith here, as so many walk by sight only, we behold, we see, we gaze upon, firstly with the eye of the soul, but then at the resurrection, with the eyes of the body too, Jesus Christ. And we know him and enjoy him in a way above and beyond anything possible here. No longer with means, no longer with scripture, directly. And that is glory. But we must continue walking by faith here until we take our last step, which brings us into that glorious eternity. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, as we have these groans within and this burden for the final state, the perfect state, may we continue walking by faith, not looking upon the world or trusting in the world. There is nothing there for us. Not walking as those who are unbelieving do, just going from day to day, just hoping for something better. May we walk as faith and hope direct us, a purposeful walk, following Christ as those who have the promise of God that one day they shall indeed behold him, because they shall be with him and they shall enjoy him there for all eternity. Bless us and keep us. Take away our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.